Fiona Parker on ABC Victoria.
On this Monday morning, where we're first cruising to the end of June, we've got the first day in July coming up later this week. How on earth did that happen? But on this 27th of the 6th, 2011, a focus on classical music and women composers in classical music. Jim Migdal lives in Malden and runs the website jimsclassicalmusic.com, and he joins us in the studio. He's been doing some research into women composers. Welcome to the program, Jim.
Thank you, Fiona.
Thanks for stopping by.
Okay.
So you've had a good look at women composers. What have you found?
Well, the most interesting thing is why they're not known and why their music is not played. And we'll go through a number of those reasons. The most obvious is 200-300 years ago, a woman's place really was in the home. That was true. Social attitudes at the time prevented it. But there are other reasons, like money. You know, the big guys, the well-known composers, they had backers and patrons, so you could hire a hall, and hire an orchestra, and publish the music. Like Fanny Mendelssohn, it's just amazing. She wrote between 400 and 500 compositions, and not a single one was published before her death. And it's just this ignorance of female classical composers and denial of their incredible ability. And people now are doing things around the world to try and address that. I'll talk about a woman later whose website is worth a visit. But to start off, we all know in this day and age how sex sells. So we're going to start with a very sensual piece, a very sexy horn. This is Clara Schumann, one of her romances, adapted for piano and horn. Hit it.
Thank you.
Clara Schumann composed that piece of music, one of her three romances, and of course, Jim, famous last name, if there ever was one.
Yeah.
So she was the wife
of Robert Schumann. An extraordinary woman, really. She had eight children. One of them died early, so she raised seven children and some grandchildren. She nursed her husband, Robert, who completely crashed and burned physically and mentally. And she toured extensively and very successfully. She had very, very successful concerts as a pianist. In fact, Franz Liszt praised her piano playing, and Franz Liszt fancied himself to be the greatest pianist in the whole universe, and for him to say she was great, that was something. Also, a very famous violinist named Joseph Joachim, roughly how you pronounce it, he said about Clara Schumann, this is really cool, he says, "As far as art is concerned, you are man enough."
Oh.
So here we go with her.
Don't know if that'd be taken that well these days, but back then perhaps
no,
a compliment.
No, back then, oh my
absolutely.
God, yeah.
But yes, the sensuous sound of that French horn was just gorgeous in that one. I know we have another piece from Clara Schumann.
Oh, and I should mention that first piece was originally written for piano and violin. It also was transcribed for oboe and violin, and that was the French, piano, and that was the French horn and piano. Okay, here's the second piece by Clara Schumann, Impromptu in E major. We're going to have to fade it out. Oh, and I want to apologize to everyone for cutting some pieces off, especially to István in Malden. Sorry, mate. Okay, here we go. Impromptu in E major.
It's a piece of music composed by Clara Schumann. Yeah, gorgeous. The piano in that was just beautiful, Jim.
Yep. Well, here's an interesting fact about her. She was one of the first pianists to perform from memory. Now, I found that in my research, and it's really kind of hard to believe because no pianist today does anything else. They know their whole repertoire from memory. But this research revealed that one of the first pianists to perform from memory.
So really a groundbreaker, I guess, not only in terms of women. As we say, they were out there composing, but it wasn't actually, promoted or really recognized within that fraternity.
Yes, well, she did tour successfully, whereas Fanny was totally in the shadow of her brother. We'll get to Fanny next. And Louise Ferenc, unfortunately, was French and didn't do opera. And French composers who didn't do opera didn't have a chance, really. Now, this is an interesting quote from Clara Schumann after she got discouraged. She says, I once believed that I possessed creative talent, but I have given up this idea. A woman must not desire to compose. There has never yet been one able to do it. Should I expect to be the one? Now, this is what's fascinating. At the time she wrote that, Louise Ferenc was composing great classical music in France. And the possibility that Clara had never even heard of her, perhaps that's an indication of how these female composers struggled on unknown.
Absolutely. So Fanny Mendelssohn that you mentioned.
Fanny in the shadow of her brother.
The sister of Mendelssohn.
Felix Mendelssohn, Goethe, how do you pronounce it? The great writer, Goethe?
Oh, that'll do.
Okay, anyway, here's what it says. Goethe was not alone in considering her to be, this is Fanny Mendelssohn, to be just as gifted as her genius brother. While people often compare her music with that of Felix, her expression is of an altogether more passionate nature. Her music is only now coming to light and being published. And as I mentioned before, almost 500 compositions in her life, not one published while she was alive. So here we go, Nocturne in G minor, edited for time.
Some of Fanny Mendelssohn's Nocturne in G minor that Jim Migdol has brought in today as part of a discussion here about women composers. Jim runs the website jimsclassicalmusic.com. Jim, just a question here. Do you think the music and the compositions sound different to the male composers of that time?
That's the question I posed on my website and to myself, and I haven't answered it yet. I don't know. I mean, there's, well, this quasi-masculine quality that some reviewer referred to. You know, is there such a thing as a masculine quality? What is the difference in the feel of their music, the male and the female? I don't know. I'm not sure. I just know that they wrote some fantastic music. And I think especially our last one, Louise Ferenc. But back to Fanny Mendelssohn. Felix's education included lengthy travels. He was able to try himself as a conductor and pianist and become acquainted with the greatest musicians of the time. Whereas Fanny was faced with many restrictions, mainly her father constantly reminding her to concentrate on her future role as a wife and mother. So her musical activities didn't get beyond the kind of the family circle. Let's hear one of her six melodies. This is, I'm not sure which one, but one of the six melodies, and it's Allegretto, Fanny Mendelssohn.
Fanny Mendelssohn, Six Melodies, Allegretto, here on ABC Victoria. Jim, just wonderful stuff, beautiful kind of, you know, a really gorgeous flowing kind of feeling through the piano work on that.
It is lovely.
So that's Fanny Mendelssohn.
Yep.
Louise Frank, you seem to be a huge fan.
Well, I just, when I first started researching female composers, I read several places, critics saying flat out, she was the greatest. And I've listened to a fair bit, and I don't know. I guess it feels like that to me.
So who was she?
Well, she was French, which was a strike against her to begin with. I mean, all the great composers were still around. And if you were French, apparently if you didn't write opera, you didn't get anywhere. Now, let me just find that quote if I can. No, really, it was, yeah. French composers who didn't do opera were sort of doomed.
Century are we talking?
Well, through the 1800s. Mm-hmm. All three of these women lived through the 1800s. I'm just trying to find that quote. It was Saint-Saëns, however you pronounce it, famous French composer. He said, the composer who was bold enough to venture out into the field of instrumental music had only one forum for the performance of his works, a concert which he had to organize himself and to which he invited his friends and the press. One could not even think of attracting the public, the general public. The very mention of the name of a French composer on a placard, especially that of a living French composer, was enough to send everyone running. So, Madame Ferenc, as she was sometimes known, Louise Ferenc, didn't have much of a chance. So she was from 1804 to 1875 she lived, and, the first woman composer-performer to demand equal pay. How's that?
There you are. There you are. I don't know how successful she would have been.
Now, one thing I was really kind of pleased with myself, because I was listening to a lot of Brahms clarinet trios. Brahms considered definitely one of the greatest composers. And this clarinet trio by Louise Ferenc, while I was listening, I thought, my God, why is that any less than Brahms? I mean, it sounds as good to me. Then I came across this in my research. Some tonal colors from her symphonies, that's Ferenc, are reflected on works by Brahms. So that made me feel proud of myself. This is a beautiful thing. This is the beginning of her clarinet trio. Again, we have to edit for length. So Louise Ferenc, perhaps the greatest female classical composer, the beginning of her clarinet trio, the first movement.
Thank you. That's Louise Ferencz, the beginning of her clarinet trio, the first movement there. Jim, just stunning stuff, some very bold changes in tempo in that composition as well.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Well, we were going to play another piece by her, but we've run out of time, and I really wanted to get a couple of things in here, kind of like the punchline to why is it that we don't know these women's music? Okay. Madame Ferencz is certainly the greatest woman composer in the history of classical music. That's what one critic said. Now, the same critic, in the very next breath, here's what he said. Notwithstanding her evident extraordinary artistic and technical qualities, Madame Ferencz's works do not show the presence of this invisible and indefinable spark which marks the difference between great talent and genius. Aha! The invisible and indefinable spark. What's a woman to do? I mean, really, come on. Invisible and indefinable spark? How's that for a bunch of BS? Anyway, she studied...
You can see through it, Jim.
She studied with Hummel and Reicha, and she was admired by Schumann and Berlioz. So all of these reasons why these women never made it. Mm. But there's hope. Okay, now listen carefully, audience. Diana Ambaci. I'm doing this phonetically. You've got to Google Diana with one N, A-M-B-A-C-H-E. That's phonetic. Diana Ambaci. And when you Google it, the first entry you'll find is her website. And she has done amazing research on this very issue. And it turns out the real punchline is that in 1995 to 1997, she invited 9 BBC presenters to come to concerts that she gave of women composers. None of them showed up.
There you are. Jim, we must leave it there. Jim's classicalmusic.com is the website to go to, or Diana Ambaci.